You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Welcome to the Boss Hard to Believe podcast. This is episode number 336 of East Internet's favorite podcast. Jeremiah Morrill, joined by executive video producer, audio engineer, youth coach, and dry guy, Zach Burcham.
I'm the boring guy tonight.
The rest of us are as sober as we will be for the rest of the evening. Jesse Riddle is in the co-host chair. First appearance for Jesse in 2024. You got it in on the leap day edition. Yep. You've not missed a ball.
This is the only leap year I'll ever be here.
You are 1-0 on leap day episodes. Dakota is 0-1, and that's what we have to remember.
That's what he's going to commit to, showing up to every leap day episode that we film on a Thursday.
Yeah. That's what they're going to call me, leap dog, after all this.
Sean Rao is here making, God, this is probably your 10th appearance in like 336 shows.
Well,
Sean,
my first in 2024.
Yes.
Also.
Yes. Yeah. Do you want us to consider you a co-host? Because I will put Dakota to work and make him put you on the website.
I think he's been on enough.
Put that on there.
You are?
Put that on there.
We're gonna, Sean's probably we're gonna, been on there as much as I have.
A senior legal correspondent.
Yes. Yes. Liberty defender.
Legal, quasi-expert.
Fellow Buffalo Wild Wing connoisseur with us.
I love B-dubs. I'm just glad we're not talking about abortion or Donald Trump or anything else.
No. Oh,
just,
you said it.
Going forward.
Now we have to throw the notes out and
now
go there.
Now we got to go to the Supreme Court. No.
It's not happening.
This is going to be a fun one.
As opposed to the other 335 we've done previously.
Very somber, but important information.
Yeah, we talked at B-dubs. We're talking about changing the entire program for the show moving forward.
We're talking about the Electoral College.
You rewrote my program for me. our main guest tonight is going to be Mark Lasbury. He's the managing partner and editor of Indiana On Tap, and we're gonna get to know him a little bit. That's he's gonna be a very popular man because there's a gigantic party coming.
I brought beer.
There's a gigantic party, and he brought the party a couple weeks early. Let's see. This show's about our lives in rural Indiana. We're here to push your boundaries and make you think as individuals. Sometimes it'll provoke you, other times it'll make you laugh, but hopefully you'll always learn something new. Our guest from episode 335 is watching in the front row. Devin Guppy has come back. He missed it so much. He's hanging out with us. So we'll see if Devin wanders up and participates in the show at some point later on or not. if he does, cool. If not, you know, that's fine too. Right now, I think he's just TikToking over in the corner. Christy Avery, we say thank you so much for your support of the show over the years. If you folks give $50 or more a month, you end up with a little thank you at the top of the show. Christy Avery, Fort Wayne, Indiana, the Norwex dealer to the stars. John Phillips, Andy Moore, Buick GMC, Open Fishers, and John Phillips for County Council. Anthony Meyer of A Different Breed Trucking, and our new friends over at Sports Corner Varsity Outfitters, Blake Reese. He was actually the main guest last week, and they joined us, and we're looking forward to a relationship with them. I think I'm going to get some custom Boss Hog logos put on some shirts. He can do some embroidery over there. Okay. Jesse.
I was thinking about getting this get a hoodie like this embroidered with my company logo.
Exactly. Well, he can do it. If you've got not the JPEG or the GIF, but the old PNG. You got the PNG, he can make it look real nice.
Probably anything that supports transparency.
I don't know what that means.
It's fine. You don't need to. He does.
Yeah. See, as long as it has the vectors, Victor, we're good.
SVGs probably would work.
He could kill any show, Sean. I swear to God, it's his special mind. It's his special talent.
He has a beautiful mind. I
love it so much that it's just
the perfect. It's just I do it on purpose. That's instant, the best part.
Instant, just conversation death.
And he's your co-host.
And he's
yeah, first time. I'm tied with Mark.
And you beg him to be on the show all the time.
I think it's good for the audience to hear me struggle.
We've lost four viewers since I started talking.
I wish that there was a way that we could show the conversations where he tries to get Jesse to come on, and Jesse firmly and almost always with some level of rudeness just starts telling him no in just every way possible.
Hey, I show up sometimes.
Free beer tonight. All right, let's
get here.
Let's get to know Mark Lasbury. Tell us about the On Tap program, I guess, and the big party that's coming up here just a few blocks away from the studio.
Yeah, we contract with the city, Main Street, Newcastle Main Street, to bring in what we call Newcastle On Tap St. Patty's Day. This year it's on March 16th, the day before the real party. And so we bring in breweries, wineries, distilleries to do unlimited samples, along with, and it's important to us that we bring in a lot of local small businesses, local artists, artisans, and local sponsors to make sure that this is a community event. So we've got food trucks. We've got Celtic Motion is coming from Indianapolis to do Irish step dance.
They're going
to
do two big performances.
Yes, two and four. And my wife dances with them. So this is her not coming out party, but it's her return to the recital stage. And then we've got a DJ, DJ 3 PM, Andrew Bell, who mashes up better than anyone we know. So, he'll have a bunch of, Irish rock punk mashups to play at the event.
It's awesome.
Last year we did the Dirty Tweeds, which is an Irish punk band out of Indianapolis. And, I'm happy to say that we pretty much discovered that band and now they're priced out of our range.
That's spectacular.
Yeah. So we've got DJ 3 PM this year and, Celtic Motion will be doing dances to mostly traditional music, not to mashups. So, I'd say that this year we've got, between 36 and 40 booths. So it's an increase over last year. It's 26, I would think right now. It may change before we get there. We may add one or two. I just added a nice home brewer from way up in northern Indiana, but I think we're at 26 alcohol vendors now. Nice. So
if folks want to, and we're going to get all the business out of the way before things might potentially get sloppy on the back end, and then we'll probably just tell the same story three or four times along as we go. If folks want tickets.
NewcastleOnTap.com.
All right. So they go to NewcastleOnTap.com. There's a price break now before you get there.
Right. Day of tickets are...
I think they're $50.
Yeah, they're substantially more. You want to get your tickets early. I'm thinking we've already missed early bird pricing, for future events. If you buy them more than a month before the event, you do get a price break on that.
And then there's a DD part
ticket
as well.
We sell DDs on the day of the event.
Yep.
So don't worry about the fact that you can't buy a DD ticket online. You can buy them at the gate.
And they're $20.
Yeah.
And you can still come in, enjoy the music, enjoy the food trucks and the whole party.
Well, and we have, the press is going to be there doing coffee samples and selling coffee, and you can, DDs can do the coffee. We have a tea company called Rare Brew that's coming in that does hopped teas, and they'll be doing sampling. So those DDs can have those as well. So yeah, there's more to do if you're a DD than just watch the, listen to the music and watch the band and buy some food.
And where's Hop T from?
Rare Brew is out of Indianapolis.
Okay. Yeah. Never even heard of it.
The people watching, especially after hour two or three,
right,
is top shelf.
Yes.
I was one of the people last year.
It increases logarithmic. Yeah. There's a lot more dancing that happens in the third and fourth hours. Mm-hmm. And people don't worry so much about civility.
There was a food truck last year. I don't know what food trucks you have coming, but there was a Cajun food truck.
They're coming
that,
back.
That I hit multiple times over a 4-hour period.
Yeah, the fried alligator.
Yeah.
It's called the Big Easy.
Yep.
It's out of sort of the Anderson Muncie area. And yeah, I try to have them at as many of our events as we can, because it's something you can't get very often. Along with them this year, we've got Celtic Pretzel that does some amazing soft pretzels and soft pretzel sandwiches, and it'd be great. You know, it's really set for the Irish kind of holiday.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's get started on, I don't know what journey you want to take us down, but you have brought four different beers, that are all representative of folks that are going to be, I don't know if these particular beers will be there, but all of these breweries are scheduled and meant to be
right
at the Newcastle on Tap.
Right. So, the first one, I did bring a couple of beers. I brought a cider and, a ready to drink cocktail, because it's indicative of the fact that we've got a lot more that goes on than just beer. In fact, the spirits, I brought a ready to drink cocktail, but the spirits at our festivals have just exploded in the last couple of years. You know, there'll be 12 different bourbons.
Oh, that's awesome.
At this festival.
And that's, so as my drinking, has evolved over time, I've moved much more to the spirit side myself. Yeah. With the rums and bourbons.
You'd think you were 25. That's what's happening with the younger generation.
I think a lot of the market has gone that way, right?
Yeah, spirits are definitely outselling beer right now.
So this first one is from Ash and Elm Cider Company out of Indianapolis. Early or late last year, they were named in the USA Today Top 10, the number 2 cidery in the country. They have amazing food at their cidery, but they do tons of different kinds of ciders. I'm a big fan of their Cider of the Month, where they get a little crazy on what they may shove into a cider. This is one of their more classic examples. This is the dry. And I thought it'd be good to start with, because it's a little lighter and it doesn't have a lot of sugar left over. Dry just means that most of the sugar has been fermented out of it. And yeah, it's one of their staples.
Oh, smells the nose is awesome.
Yeah.
Zach, if you want to taste or smell anything,
alcohol.
I would love your opinion on each of these.
No,
does not smell like
alcohol. I'm living life over here, drinking a 7-Up Zero. Like, this is even like,
that's a little too much for you, huh?
Yeah. Now that's a little sneaky. I mean, you
what is the alcohol by volume on this?
6.5%.
Yeah. So a beer is roughly five generally. Well,
Budweiser is 5.
Yeah.
Mega beer.
A standard mainline generic, you know. 48 pack of Busch lattes.
For the 4 or 5 of the beers I had last Saturday were 14% or higher. Yeah.
I'll say, regular Budweiser's 5, but a Busch latte is 4.2.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, because it's refreshing at the beginning and then you get that dry back end where it kind of.
Yeah. It doesn't stick to your tongue.
No,
it doesn't.
Not
it's
all.
Not cloyingly sweet, but you know it's sweet.
Yes.
So you get a.
You get all that sweetness in the front.
Yeah. And it will take us into the other things that are going to stay on your tongue a little bit longer.
Oh, that's delightful.
Not a bad thing to say about it.
They do.
It's not fruity. It's very much just a generic, an apple cider, a generic cider.
Right.
But it's not overly powered.
The word generic, but yes.
Not generic, but plain. Like it's not.
Yeah.
It's a
straight cider.
Yeah.
But it's bright. You can read a newspaper through it. It's everything that it ought to be. They are extremely well-made products.
So how much distribution do these folks have? Are they Indiana only? Are they?
Oh, no.
They're all over the world?
Well, no. I'd say they're probably in, and I'm guessing now, in the range of 15 states. But they have good distribution, so they cover the state pretty hard. There's not many places that you'll go that you can't find ash and elm in the state. Yet, unfortunately, to my mind, not enough people know about them. Downtown, they're on East Washington. Got a great rooftop lounge where they hold some events, and they have a really nice Autumn Tidings festival that they hold each year. Yeah. Autumn Tidings is one of their most popular ciders, but it's a very, very seasonal. You can only get it for a little bit in September.
I've seen them on a lot more lists as far as beers and then alternatives to beers. And yeah. All the higher end places I've been.
Yeah.
It's more of a, a higher end potential, beverage, but, it's so approachable and it's so fresh and clean and everything else.
And it's great fantastic. That you can still get an Indiana product.
Yes.
They're one of the few, a McClure's Orchard. They do a fair amount of canning. Mm-hmm. So you'll find some nice places that have McClure's ciders on. But other than that, mm-hmm. if you want an Indiana made cider,
this is
the good stuff. I mean, if some you of want the, it in a can someplace,
some of the sure. more nationally available ciders are sweeter. They're much sweeter than this. And this doesn't kick you in the teeth with sugar like some of those.
Not a lot of people do dries.
Yeah.
Because most often what people are looking for is that cloying sweetness.
Sugar bomb.
Yeah. Blake's out of Michigan. Yeah. They do a lot of, and they do some interesting stuff. But Ace ciders, I would much prefer drinking an Ash and Elm than I would an Ace. Yeah. Although Blake's, you have to give them their due. They do make some really nice.
I'd say they definitely have good ciders.
Yeah.
For sure. McClure's has really good ciders too. Mm-hmm. But they have the same thing. They have they have some sweet ones, but they also have some really fun ones. Like, especially if you go to their tap room, which I don't know if they still have it up at the Orchard or not, but
yes, they do.
It's like they have the jalapeno, and then they do a atomic red hot cider that's really, really good.
They were selling a lot at the same people owned a brewery in Peru, but they're closing that one, so it'll go back to being mostly at the one on
Thursday. Yeah, I knew. I was like, I didn't know if they had the tap room still at the Orchard or not. So
there was an era where Jesse was going to start a cidery. Do you still have an apple press? Are you ready to go?
No, I never owned the apple press. I still in my mom's garage have a unopened apple crusher from Italy.
Ready to go.
Ready to
you
go.
You are halfway to your own production.
It literally just got brought up not that long ago. But yeah, well,
was it your mother saying, get this the hell out of my garage, please?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which, even though it's like three, maybe 9 cubic feet, she's very pissed off all the time. And then my partner unfortunately passed away, but not like romantic partner, but
your business partner,
who had the same aspirations, has passed away recently. So, that's probably never going to happen, but it was, that was right before the cider craze took off and then it kind of fizzled out, but we did get the Cider Act out of it.
It's coming back.
I was going to say, Jesse, what's
going to build?
What's your next craze that you are, that you're going to make happen? Because you were all over cider. You were all over surge pricing for fast food. What's the next craze?
I don't know if it's a craze. If I had like unlimited income, I would open up a tenderloin spot. Like you have burger restaurants.
The Indiana pork tenderloins.
Yeah, but like they're different styles.
All right.
But I don't know if there's a craze, but I was going to say, this one's really good. Like some of the Ash and Elms, like they do tend to, I don't want to say tend, they do also cater to people who do want a little bit more sweetness. This one's definitely a little bit more dry.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Fleeting Youth.
Yep.
That's really like
they're
that
fruited. Their fruited ciders aren't straight apple.
And so, do they have one drier than this? Because I feel like they did.
Yeah. but they don't make it all the time.
And I think that's the one I really, really like, because I really love a dry cider. Like, it's one of my favorite things in mass production ciders. I really, really like, which people can hate me for this, but, or just standard original sin is like a really, especially if it's carbonated well, is a really good cider. It was. It, so Black Acre used to have original sin, on tap, and it was, you could hardly ever get it where it was like
Sean, I carbonated would cut a that deal way, with you.
But it was really good.
If you and I share a can of whatever's next, you can keep the other can and take it home.
That sounds good to me.
All right.
Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah, I was going to say, we probably should have opened all of these.
I'm like sitting here doing the math going, this is going to be horrific.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't
tomorrow
do
is,
you
know, tomorrow is a Friday and I have work.
I'm not drinking them all either.
No,
never. I'm trying to save some of the waste.
In my youth, not finishing a beer was a sin.
Do you remember? No. Original, right? Yeah. Do you remember the name of the dryer one by chance?
Me neither. Yeah.
So I went to a breakfast. So those who have been to Ash and Elm a long time ago, when he's talking about, they have like this, what did you call it? Like a balcony or whatever.
Yeah. That's in their new place. They moved.
Yeah. They moved. I just want to
year and a half ago.
Yeah. So the people who've been there a long time ago and haven't been there lately, they have moved a little bit further east, I believe. Right.
Yeah. Closer to downtown.
Oh, so it's further. Okay, so it's further west.
They're almost at I-70 now, near the old Angie's List campus, it looks like.
Okay. I don't know if you guys knew where Indiana City Brewing was.
Yeah.
You can hit it with a rock from where the
old Indiana City, so they're kind of across the street from there then. Okay. So Futuro and stuff is like right next to them. Okay.
Yeah. So, and fantastic kitchen.
Well, while Mark is finding the next round of drinks here, I will say that Ink and Ale is going to be there as well, which is this time a year ago, we were getting ready to have the Blue River Tap House. They had been announced, but hadn't been open yet.
Yeah.
And they brought some product there.
And can I say something about that? Because like, that was my first time meeting those people, and it was fantastic to meet them, talk to them, and just kind of get to know them a little bit before. And now they're just killing it downtown.
True.
I mean, they just
true
really
beer
are
family.
Fantastic people.
Yeah. Mike is a Chambray. So, he and his dad and his brother started Craft Roads Distributing. Their sister, Mike's sister, Amanda, is the owner of Sun King Kokomo.
Pull that mic in just a little closer to you.
Yeah. I learned that when they have the small batch over there in their, in their tap house, they had the small batch Sun King Kokomo stuff. And I was like, that was crazy because they must be crazy small.
Actually, it's a five barrel system.
They're supported by the Sun King system. So they can stay in business and they don't have to worry about like things that you would as a small brewery because they got the backing of the mothership.
About half the taps will be Sun King Indianapolis beer. Mm-hmm. And half the taps will be Sun King Kokomo beer.
Yeah.
They also do the same thing at Sun King Fishers. They have a small batch. Jake Goodnight is the brewer there. And I pretty much always suggest drinking the small batch beer.
Yes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, JD Alvarado, who was at Sun King Kokomo, isn't there now. So I don't know the name of the person. I just learned today that they've got a new head brewer. And I'll be happy to go up and drink a whole mess of his beers and see what's up. Yeah.
So the next one you brought is very local to us. It's Wooden Bear over in Greenfield.
Yeah.
Just a little bit further east on Washington Street than the last spot was on US 40.
About 15 miles. Yeah. 20 miles.
And this is the Cougar Town Brown.
Yeah. It's an American brown ale, maybe a bit hoppier than what you'd think for like an English brown, especially like a nut brown. But they have been around for quite a while. I think they're coming up on their ninth year. They went through a couple of brewers early. Nick Banks was great. He's killing stuff now for, Quaffon. Then they went through a couple and then they found Jared Hamilton. And I'm a big fan of Jared Hamilton beers. They don't do anything wild. It's not like they're never met something they didn't want to throw in a beer. And there are those breweries out there. But they make solid beer that has enough style differences that you can always walk in and find something. Our daughter now lives in Greenfield, so we're probably at Wooden Bear once every 2 or 3 weeks, and there's always at least one beer that I haven't had.
So they got a big tap list. I go there about twice a week, so
yeah.
I'm there a lot. I was there last night, so but yeah.
Wooden Bear is a place. It's probably one of the first breweries that Jesse took me to. Was hanging out down there, and it's been exciting seeing them change and evolve over the years.
Yeah,
and watching how they've adapted with the different food delivery options, how the beer list has changed over the years.
The model that they have now with the Greek's pizza in there,
mm-hmm. it's killer.
Is a very popular model as of COVID. Mm-hmm. The phrase is, I opened a brewery because I didn't want to open a restaurant. And there are few brewers who really want to mess with the hassle of making food or yeah. even ordering food or so.
But they have a space large enough where they can find an independent restaurant to sit in and complement each other.
Food partners are the way to go now. They offer you a freedom, and an option that it never happened, pre-COVID. So yeah, they do food in there. We were there last Wednesday or Thursday when they were having music bingo night.
And by Wednesday, I think.
Yeah, you could not find a seat in that place.
That's what I was telling them at dinner. I was like, it's crazy how that thing's huge. Like,
it's massive, a big place,
and they fill it to the gills.
Yeah.
Throughout the week. Like Tuesdays are kind of, I wouldn't say they're slow by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. That is one of the slower days they have.
So this is definitely a hop, we haven't had another beer, but it's a little bit harder on the hoppier side than a normal Pilsner would be.
It's going to have a bit more bite.
But it's a dark, full beer. And that's generally, I'm more of a porter and a stout guy generally is what I'm going to. But this, this is your brown ale.
But it's still clean. It doesn't sit down on your tongue.
Yep.
It's got
doesn't cause a wild head shake.
Yeah. It's got some body, but it's not a knife and fork beer. You don't have to,
all of their beers give you better are beer always face. Just that nice, clean version of whatever it is, because I'm a big West Coast IPA guy. I'm not a big like hazy guy. So for me, like when I go to Wooden Bear, Hoppy Bear, like their IPAs are tend to be more on the West Coast side. They do make hazies, but
But Dancing Bears right now is
Dancing Bears is still really good. We talked about that.
We did talk about that.
We talked about Dancing Bears too. Yeah.
And, by the way, we did not just for the audience to know, we did not like plan on, hey, we're going to have this giant dinner ahead of time. Jesse hit me up this afternoon and he's like, you want to get dinner? I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah. And then here comes Sean walking in the door. I'm like, you may as well sit down here, buddy.
I got a haircut, a car wash. I was like, what else am I going to do here? I'll just
do the Midwest American treat.
Just
knock out dinner real quick.
No, I love that location there. I love their combination with Greek's Pizza.
Yeah.
I mean, we travel from Newcastle over there on purposely to like see them once every 2 weeks or so.
Yeah.
And I can get carry out cans. I can get carry out growlers. I can do all that, and it is just exactly the type of beer that I like as a West Coast IPA, clean, like IPA, like traditional IPA.
And the people are solid. Danielle.
Danielle's great.
Danielle.
Nina's great. Yeah, perfect.
Jay. Yeah.
They have a lot of cool artwork, too, for sale.
Interesting enough.
Mark. Co-host Mark.
Co-host Mark's artwork in there.
We have a... someone who's coming in to sell string art at Newcastle on Tap, who I met through Wooden Bear.
Through Wooden Bear.
Yeah, string art by Alyssa.
They do the college stuff too?
They do all kinds of that.
I bought an Indiana thing that was super cool.
Yeah. It was the one that was on the wall by the restaurant.
Script Indiana.
Yeah. I actually commissioned a string art piece of our logo, the Indiana on Tap logo, from her. So it looks
that's awesome.
Great.
So, for those that weren't paying attention earlier, all of these breweries are going to be bringing their product in to Newcastle on Tap, and it's unlimited pours.
Unlimited samples.
Until they run. Nobody's filling any kegs, but they're going to have samples of everything. So it's not like you don't have to be shy
No.
when you come in. You try this stuff.
Yeah, and there's no reason to not try something.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a beer, not a life choice.
Yep.
So if you don't like it, pour it out, move on. You cost yourself nothing. So, yeah, you should be trying things that you haven't had before and don't think you would like.
It's like going to the RV or boat show. Go in and sample and look around and try it. You know, nobody's asking you to buy anything. You've already paid.
Yeah.
And they're there for the promotion and to meet with you.
Some of the, not as many of the breweries, but certainly the wineries and distilleries will be selling package product as well as merchandise. So bring your cash. You're going to get that t-shirt from the one brewery that you love the most. You can take home a 4-pack of the ready to drink cocktails from High and Mighty or one of the other places. Mm-hmm. I almost always end up taking a bottle of bourbon home. We're not having Moon Drops is there this year. Ooh, the Moon Drops, 5-year bourbon is an amazing product. Yeah.
They were there last year, right?
They were.
Yeah.
But last year I bought the Four Fingers peated bourbon.
And they were nice. Yeah. That was very nice, very warming on a cold day.
Yeah. They're opening up their Lebanon production distillery and restaurant tasting room very soon. Well, tomorrow night. So yeah, they're messing around with that. So they couldn't make it back again this year.
And where are they based out of?
The original is in Indianapolis.
Okay.
But the new place, big place, is in Lebanon, right on Courthouse Square.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was one of the, I'm a beer guy. I'm not a big spirits guy, but that was one that really stood out last year.
And that's the great thing about the festival.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say,
you don't think you're a spirits guy, but you can still find something.
Cause you find something that stands out and is quality. And
I was going to say, if you're an IPA guy, it makes sense that you might be a peat guy. So,
yep. Yeah. It's yep.
Cause I have drank many like strong peats, peat monster, all that ridiculous stuff. And I'm like, I've never acquired the taste for it. It's not that I don't like it. I'm just like, how do people drink a lot of it? But IPAs grew on me. I've tried to get Pete again. My friend Rob that passed away, he was always trying to get me to try Pete stuff, and we'd sit and watch whatever Last of Us and drink Pete. And it was
so. How many events? This obviously this is the St. Patrick's event, really marquee, and it's tailored towards that.
Yeah,
but how many of these on tap events are on the calendar throughout Indiana throughout the year?
Well, we actually have two models. We have the events that we organize and manage ourselves, and then we have a group of events that we consult with that are owned by. Well, we don't own any of our events, but are owned and have a point person, and then we do their ticketing, we do their invites, their vendor invites, their vendor communications. We show them how to lay out the festival. We show them our preferred, vendors for infrastructure things. So I'd say we have usually somewhere in the range of 9 to 11 events of our own each year. And then between 10 and 16, 18 events that we consult on. The good thing about that is that we're not required to be there the day of the event, so it frees up our schedule a little bit.
I was looking at the calendar, just going, you may not have a whole lot of free weekends to do anything.
No,
if you've got these, consistently throughout the year.
Yeah, we did 2 weekends ago was Frigid Digits Winter Beer Fest at Center Point in Indianapolis. We sold 1,200 tickets, and then with vendors and volunteers and staff and freebies, and we had over 1,500 people there in Center Point's parking lot.
Wow, it's not a very big parking.
Yeah, and then well, it kept everybody warm.
Absolutely, yeah,
yeah.
Frigid Digits no more.
Yeah, last weekend was Michigan City Shelf Ice Brew Fest, another outdoor brew fest, and
just nice to be up on the lake in February.
Yeah. 2,500 people all told there at Shelf Ice. For that one, I do the invites and the vendor communications, but then we also run the front gate for them on the day of. So, they will do whatever they ask us to do. So
what is, and this is my own selfish question, what is Indiana on Tap's like mission?
We support Indiana craft beer, wine, and spirits. If you are a craft beverage producer in Indiana, we want you to thrive. So we do that by, one, organizing these festivals. Now, it's true that we're doing this for the city. We're doing this for the beer drinker. But we also, this is a great way for increased brand recognition.
It's good for everybody involved.
It's great for everybody. More people that know of these places, the more will visit these places.
This has become, I know this being the third year, I missed the first one. I had a conflict, but last year was a spectacular time. This is the third annual for Newcastle, and it's become a great, we are so close to springtime, you can taste it. And this is becoming the, hey, spring is here. Whether it's 24 degrees outside or 71 degrees outside, we're going to pretend it's springtime, and we're going to be Hoosiers and enjoy ourselves outside.
People care about the weather for about the first 30 minutes. And then after that, they're lubed up enough that they've got, they're happy about,
I can tell you for our downtown, and I guess as a business owner that's downtown, it's a big deal. So we have the Christmas walk, which is in early December, and this, and it's kind of the two main anchor events that we have in the winter time and into the spring. And then until you get into Memorial Day and the gigantic Jack's Donut Eating Contest.
Yeah.
These are the big events for downtown.
There's a big car show, right?
Yeah.
Most of the events all but one of the events that we organize and manage are actually owned by municipalities. So we do this in Lebanon, in Columbus will be our first year this year in Columbus. That one should be very big.
Rushville, you guys do Rushville, the Libations on the Levee down there?
Libations by the Levee, Anderson on Tap, Tippin on Tap. There's several of them that we do that way. And I tell you, the majority of them, the city wants A, to show off their city, B, give their residents something that they want, but C, recruiting a brewery, winery, distillery to the city.
And like a tap room would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we did the first year, we did this, and then Blue River came in.
Yep.
Did the second year, and now we've got Ink and Ale Brew House in Rushville. We did the first year, and then
Fish Moon.
We got Fish Moon, Tipton. We did the first year, and we got Clues Brews. All of these are just magnets to show a craft producer that the city is ready for it.
Yep. So what do we have? What do we have next, Mark?
Yeah. So, this, we're going to go back a little bit lighter again. Now, this is sweet. This is from High and Mighty. It's a distillery out of Indianapolis. They're actually located on the state fairgrounds.
So just beware, this is 7%.
Yeah.
Because he said it was a mixed cocktail. So I'm like, how strong is this?
Yeah. So they do a couple of really nice gins, and they will bring those gins on to the event.
In case you want it to feel like Christmas time in March.
Yeah. I am a big gin fan. So
yes, they've got a floral gin.
I've never heard of this. Gin. They're in Indy? Where in Indy?
State Fairgrounds.
They're right in the state fairgrounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They're going to open up their tasting room probably in the next year.
Zach, I need you to come by and smell this
and
tell me what it smells like.
It's going to smell like alcohol.
I want you to come by and smell it for
That's
me.
That's the fun thing. When you don't drink, everything smells like alcohol. It's like cigarettes smell like cigarettes when you smoke.
So they do four ready-to-drink cocktails. This is the apple cider version. Yeah. They do, because they're at the state fairgrounds, they do a...
is there more left in that can?
Lemon shake-up.
He's getting the cinnamon note. I just wanted to make sure, because every time Zach is never... He's dry Zach. He's 42 years old, and he's still happily hanging on.
Cinnamon smells
41.
Good.
41.
You look 42, as Guffy would say.
As if it's sweet with cinnamon, that makes sense. Sorry, I know I'm talking over you, but
it's okay.
We're also not you. I'm talking over Jared.
What the hell am I? Okay,
you talking over him too?
Yeah, but we're talking about the beers, all right? So people can hear it. You know, this.
Oh my God,
this really smells really good.
That is like drinking a pure cinnamon stick.
Yeah,
that's dangerous.
So they do
That's so tasty.
Being on the state fairgrounds, they do a lemon shake up. You know, like having the lemonade at the state fair.
Yeah.
That is their best seller. This happens to be my personal favorite. Mm.
This is really trouble.
They do a cherry one, and then they do a...
is this cherry?
It's made with brandy.
And it's just apple? Yeah.
The apple and cinnamon.
Made with... Well, it's made with brandy. Okay.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
That's good.
I really do hope they bring this, because this is going to be quite popular.
Yes. I would do this on ice.
Buy it.
Jeremiah.
One in, and we are a mess already.
It wasn't me.
Buy your four pack early, because they will sell out.
Of this?
Carry on without me, Zach.
Yeah.
What about the cherry and the lemon shake?
Do we have to get you some towels?
They usually bring all three, and they also do a, I believe it's an old fashioned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they have all of those in cans.
Okay.
And because they don't have a tasting room yet, everything's going to be packaged. So you can get these guys at pretty much most of the Total Wines now. They're producing a lot of product.
Okay. That's awesome. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. They have, Jamie and Dan Farner. It's just a husband and wife team. Mm-hmm. And they do quite a few events, because this is their one mechanism for, connecting with the public. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you come to an Indiana On Tap event, it's likely that High and Mighty will be there.
Excellent.
Hmm. Yeah.
It definitely reminds me now, because you said that they do a old fashioned. Did you ever go to Black Acres Barrels of Mana?
Oh yeah.
Do you remember when Abita was there and they had an old fashioned bourbon beer? That thing was so delicious.
Yeah, but sneaky.
I don't remember much of that evening, but that they had this amazing old fashioned beer, and I still have never made it. They don't ship it up here.
No.
I don't know how to get a hold of it. I need to find somebody that lives down south. But the thing was so good.
Yeah, no, Barrels on Bonna. That went away
2019, 28. Yeah, it was way too early.
Yeah.
But people would also just get obliterated. Yeah. So, because you have 10%, 12% alcohol beers and all you can drink. So
those guys at Black Acre, they were a year ahead of me in law school. So I was aware of who they were, but we weren't friends or anything. But
so you got the name.
It was just wild. Oh yeah. Black Acre is it's like the
templated term or whatever
of a piece of property.
Yeah. It's a placeholder.
Yeah. It's just a placeholder name for a piece of property. And
it's a
fantastic name for a brewery.
Yeah. I've got a database of all the stories behind all the brewery names.
Okay.
Some of them.
That's amazing.
Some of them are plain as hell, and some of them are just very nuanced.
So my tragedy here is that I knocked over the beautiful cinnamon apple cocktail.
Well, we
got another one.
Cans, yeah. So
I just want to defend myself and say that it's not my fault. We got these little tiny sample glasses so that we could share.
These are from Lisa, and right?
They are, yes.
I remember having these.
So
where mine went.
We used them, and then I set them down, and I put it down in the other side of the microphone where it was out of my field of vision. And then I went to move one of the 72 bottles and glasses that are on the table and knocked it over.
Yeah. So, you know who tries to explain why they spilt something?
The drunk
person.
It is not my fault.
When you're sober,
nowhere in that did you hear loss of gross motor function.
Yeah. Secondly, I didn't have anything to drink with dinner. I've had about 6 ounces of alcohol so far to start the evening.
Neither did me or Sean.
Yeah, you can't say that about anybody at this table. Oh, wait. You can.
Yeah, I was there. I'm a witness.
That's all of it. No. We were doing shots afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm glad I cashed out early.
We did 13 shots.
We did Jägermeister.
In the 6 minutes after you left, Sean did 16 shots.
You had a $3,200 minutes.
Were reasonable.
All right. I have cleaned up my tragic mess that I caused.
Well, we can try to give you another mess.
Perfect.
Excellent.
We actually have a fairly bigger beer now. This is Pax Verum. out of LaPel, Indiana.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This was
very, very local to us.
Yeah. And
just around the corner.
This is a brewery that they serve a decent amount at Blue River. And so when I get beer for Blue River to drink, to pour at the event, they ask for packs. So this is a Czech dark lager. Basically, it's going to be crisp and clean, but it's going to look like a porter or a stout.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's going to have a slight bit of roast to it, but roast is not what the beer's about. It's going to be dark enough that you have a hard time seeing through it, but if you could, it would be just clear as day.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the light through it. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a super dark lager.
Yeah. This is a Colt Carpenter beer. Colt does most of the brewing now for PAX. Well, he does pretty much all the brewing now for PAX. And they're expanding rapidly. I think they're going to run out of room to put more fermenters in that place.
Well, and they have food now too.
Yeah.
King Dough.
Yeah. Right next door.
What's their food situation?
It's King Dough King Dough used to come, it was in Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
King Dough opened up a spot, kind of, you know, near downtown, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. or what they call it, near east side. And then they end up closing the Bloomington location, but they are partnered with partnered with PAX, and they've got an entire facility. So, like, have you been up to
PAX? I've not been to PAX since that happened.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, PAX where like their little patio was, right? Yeah. So, yeah. Right there next to the alley, mm-hmm. they built a brand new building. It's a small building, but they do the pizza out of it.
Okay, cool.
So they do PAX. PAX does their own festival.
Mm-hmm.
We do ticketing and a little bit of consulting on that one. It's called Way Out Beer Festival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the one where – that's because LaPel's kind of way out there.
Literally.
But it's a double entendre because that's the festival where you're supposed to bring your weirdest beer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think Wooden Bear won that one, actually.
Yes, they won for a single beer for the brewery. It's almost always Tarnished Hollow.
Oh, yeah.
That wins that.
I'm being told that by text message that one of my friends who's watching got married at PAX Verum.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also a wedding venue.
Wow.
It's also a wedding
venue. You have an online, ministry.
That's true. That's true.
If you're trying to get married in a hurry, please call Jeremiah.
If you have an emergency wedding, give me a call. I did one this afternoon.
Don't call 911.
Was it legal? Was the shotgun loaded?
I don't feel like nobody was holding a shotgun at me, so I feel like it was fine.
Can you? That's from 2021, so you won't see the pizza place. It literally just came in like last year because Hannah and I went. Either the end of 2022 or the beginning of 2023.
So you've got a list of what all of these names mean. What does PAX Verum mean? What is their naming?
Peace and truth.
Peace and truth.
Yeah.
PAX Verum. Oh, peace and truth.
So Latin. Do we need to know Latin for this?
Latin. Yeah, as a lawyer should know.
Listen, I didn't go to law school.
No, I did.
I was an ordained minister.
I accidentally knew that.
I accidentally went to law school.
I purposely went to law school.
Sean wanted to go for drinking, and they said, oh, you get to stay in college longer if you become a lawyer.
I stayed in philosophy if it was for drinking. So.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool spot.
Man.
So that building, so you see they're building it in here. So they were building in 2021, but that it's
2022, the Google Street View.
Yeah. Show that to Sean so he can see that.
You want to trust me to pick this laptop
up? You don't need to pick it up. Just
and turn it and rotate it.
Yeah.
With the amount of
that building over there.
Tell me when you don't drink a lot.
This
This
is a podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least he didn't spill the beer on the laptop. Because that's happened before, too.
There was an episode where I poured an entire drink on the laptop.
Yeah. So one of the owners of PAX Verum, Jason Watson, has a company that does landscaping. So that their beer garden there, that's all
it is Jason so nice. Watson stuff. It is very nice. Yeah. The indoors is so nice too. Like the first time I ever went in there, I was like, this is like one of the fanciest, like indoor tap rooms I've ever been in.
Well, so you never made it to Black Acre, but it you make it to Old Black Acre, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like the Old Black Acre.
Pre-fire.
Yeah. Pre-fire. Yeah. It felt
like nice leather furniture. Like
the one at the tap house.
Yeah. Nice wood floors.
Yeah. Well, Black Acres was cement, but some of the similar.
Time out. I'm going to be Jesse for a minute.
What?
It's concrete, you moron.
Yes. Thank you.
It's concrete. Maybe
I don't get offended. You're right. I am a moron. I don't know. What did I say?
You said cement.
Well, that would be stupid.
Cement would be an ingredient to make concrete.
Oh, I appreciate
it's that. It's not. You're standing.
Do they put rebar in there?
You're standing on bread, not flour, sir.
That's what they make a swimming pool out of in Beverly Hills.
The cement pond.
Right. Yeah.
The
all right. Back to your story. I'm done. I'm done harassing you.
Do you realize that after Black Acre closed, Scarlet Lane took over?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Did a really nice job with the inside of that.
Oh yeah.
It's closed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's already gone.
Yeah. I know.
I don't think any of that is, you know, Nick and Elise's fault. I think there's
just stuff going on.
There's stuff going on.
Yeah. But it's unfortunate that it closed.
I think they've still got Beach Grove.
It's still there. Yeah. Beach Grove is still there.
It's just Beach Grove and the mothership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I talked to Nick and I was like, hey man, this sucks. And
yeah,
he's high hopes and they're doubling down on what they've got. So
I am generally not a pre-made cocktail guy. This stuff from High and Mighty is I know I only got a sip before because there was a tragedy, but this is quite good.
Yeah, I think it'd be really good on a cold day. So if it's cold out,
can heat that up, put it in a little cup.
Well, see, I wouldn't heat it up. I'd put it on ice, but I think there's like a touch of sweetness that I want to cut. And that would,
I see.
The ice would help dilute it just a hair.
Yeah. I think the cinnamon.
But I think it's very, very good. It's,
there's a place called Perry Vine out of South Bend that come to a lot of our festivals. They're actually having their 1 year anniversary this weekend. So they are in March. So they won't be at Newcastle. But last weekend at Shelf Ice Brewfest, they did a hot chocolate mead.
Yeah.
Ooh. That.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Where was this at?
That was in Michigan City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it like available to buy or was it just for the event?
No, just at the event.
That sucks.
But they sell a decent amount of bottles now. So yeah, it would be nice if they packaged that. And it was a big enough hit.
Yeah, I bet.
I mean, you got 2,200, 2,300 people.
Figure out how the hell you would do that.
Jesse, who made the breakfast magpie mead?
New Day.
Yeah.
That
was good. That was the most spectacular thing I've ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you could do Imperial Breakfast Magpie.
I've got one bottle of Breakfast Magpie left.
Yeah.
Because they're gone, right?
They are no longer
in existence.
No. Yeah. They got
picked up. They were in Fountain Square, Indiana.
They sold out. They were, but they got sold out.
Fountain Square.
Fountain Square ended up shutting it down.
Yeah. They, and that's another story. New Day. Yeah.
The owners of that quit drinking, I think.
Yeah, and moved to Korea for a while.
And they've turned into like weird, like, I don't want to say weird, but they turned into health nuts.
Yeah.
So
her last name was Agnew. And his last name was Canaday. So New Day.
So
I did not know that was the reason for that.
There's a story behind all of these. What is Wooden Bears?
What is Wooden Bears?
I know it's in my database, but I don't think I remember that.
I think that the football team are the Bears, the Bearcats or whatever.
Yeah.
So I would,
and they're a little stiff.
Yeah, I would suspect. They also
have all those wood bears all throughout their place. Well,
I think they do that's a chicken egg problem.
Yeah, they do a carving. They do a live carving at their anniversary party.
Yeah,
and there's always more every time I go in there. Yeah. So my kids always get into that.
Where my question was starting to go before the peanut gallery interrupted.
It's our show, not yours.
I thought it was the third mic. The
It's our show, not yours.
Yes, I know.
There's a mutiny, Jeremiah.
I was trying to go back to the one dry sheet of notes that I have left before I ruin these and I forget to ask the question. Mark, you talked about how one of the goals of On Tap is one of the goals. They're whispering behind me. It's not distracting at all. It is to support microbreweries versus the mainline, the inbevs of the world. tell, obviously they all have their own story. A lot of them are family businesses, but they're also, they may not be around. Somebody like New Day may not be around 5 years from now.
So Blackacre won't be around.
Yeah. Jesus, Jesse.
I'm just saying. I'm just trying to add to it. There's a lot of things up close. Toe Yard's gone.
But you need to appreciate them while they're here, because things change and the industry changes, and it's, there's always something new coming, and then there's things that you love that may not be there.
Yeah. Last year in the state, we had 13 openings and 13 closings.
Yeah.
So this year, so far already, we've had 3 or 4 closings. One opening, two openings, but we have a lot on the horizon. Unfortunately, right now I've got more brewers openings than I've got brewers. So putting brewers into breweries has become, it used to be that you'd have, 10 brewers looking for work and 4 breweries that were looking for brewers. Now it's the opposite. So, it's a matter of, brewing is a business that you get burned out on.
Yeah. A lot of work.
Early hours.
Long hours.
Yeah. And early, like you have to be up early to start your day.
Why does the mash know what time it is, Jesse?
Well, it's usually because they have their HVAC systems, because they typically, not all of them have air conditioning. So in the summer, they'll get up early while it's not hot, because most of them have glycol chilled, like fermentation tanks. Like Blackacre, they didn't have air conditioning in their brewing facilities. Yeah. So they would get up at like 4 or 5, start brewing at like 5 or 6, because they don't have to worry about the temperature of day. The heat of the day. And then the tanks are all chilled through glycol. So
I have a second theory on that.
Yeah.
There's enough of these guys who are ex-military.
Yeah.
That they're used to getting
up early.
Early. Yeah.
I don't think that was the Blackacre.
Yeah, no. They're lawyers. They don't
don't want to get up early.
The guys at Aftermath in Terrible Haute, they're all,
boy, our one listener in Terre Haute is gonna be pissed.
Oh, I said that loud. I've said it for decades.
Okay, you're fine. Everyone knows it smells like dead cat or something there. It doesn't matter.
Well, they closed the paper company.
So. I just remember someone said it stank, and I can't remember why.
No, it's just my father-in-law. He'll get over it. It's fine.
But the guys at Aftermath were all Air National Guard.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, there's a lot of these guys who were in the Army. I know one Navy. Crasian Brewing up in Brookston. Tom was in the Navy. But yeah, there's a bunch of them around, and you're right. They do it because they want to avoid the hottest part of the day. Chuck Newt at Creatures of Habit. They'll be here this weekend at the event in March. Stunningly good beer. I'm bringing the ESB. I want him to bring the extra special. ESB,
beer. The ESB for Wooden Beer was really good too. I'm not trying to take the clout for take the limelight from them, but ESB, that was Rob, my friend, Rob White.
That's favorite the sign beer. Of taste. It's like if there's a good ESB, it's unlike anything else. Like I brewed for a little bit.
It's one of those beers that you can't hide behind.
Yes. And I made an ESB my first time. Everybody was like, that's my favorite beer.
We try not to talk jargon on here or acronyms. So what does an ESB stand for?
ESB, extra special bitters.
Yeah.
But strangely enough, they're not bitter.
They're delicious.
Yeah. They, so in England, depending on how much malt you put in the beer, that sort of determines how much sugar you have, therefore how much alcohol you're going to have. But malt is a costly ingredient. So the higher the amount of malt, the more you charge. So there's bitters, there's regular bitters, there's special bitters, there's extra special bitters. So none of them are big beers, but you will get more malt flavor, a little more alcohol out of an ESB.
It's your bigger pubby type of beers where you feel like you're in England and you're drinking like a beer at the pub. But that is one of those things where if you can make a good ESB,
it's like making a nice pilsner.
It's like just threading that needle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as a dumbass homebrewer, as I was, I could make it. I had it for my friends, and I had friends that were like, this is fantastic. And I was like, I don't know. This is my first try at it. So I followed the instructions. Really I did what I should.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, cause I was going to say the only other one I know, like again, my friend Rob is a huge beer fan, and he would travel all the way to Broad Ripple Brew Pub for the ESB there.
Yes.
Also,
yes.
Very good.
Yeah. Yes.
So, and then he had me, I've had it there and I've had an ESB at Wooden Bear. So it'd be nice to try another one. So
yeah, Broad Ripple Brew Pub for all those like classic styles like that.
Especially ESB's. If you're going to get it off of a beer engine.
Yes.
You know, you're going to do a hand pump.
Yes.
So tell us now, we will have at Newcastle on Tap, we will have from home brewers all the way to what scale?
Well, actually, I try not to look at who's producing the most beer. If I bring beer from like Centerpoint or, you know, one of these places, they're making a couple thousand barrels a year. But everybody is a craft brewer. They do this by the book, and they're not making so much beer that you would ever consider them to be even. Well, I don't think anybody.
They don't.
There are a few. Three Floyds is really the only brewery in Indiana that you would consider even a regional brewery based on the number of barrels they make,
the volume that they put out.
Yeah. So all of these are almost completely family businesses, mm-hmm. or three guys that went to college together, Centerpoint down in Indianapolis. They're all engineers from Rose Holman. So
that explains why they have Centerpoint thing.
Centerpoint with the fob. Yeah. All of these are probably in the low hundreds to maybe 1,000 barrels a year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't remember what the metrics are. I know they try to come up with like the nano brewery term, but like,
yeah, completely.
I don't abstract. Yeah. It's completely abstract. Yeah.
The only one that really fits is, you are not craft if you make over 6 million barrels a year.
Yeah.
So, now there are a lot of breweries that I don't consider craft that make less than 6 million barrels a year, but that's not something you're going to run into at this kind of event.
Yeah.
Even the distilleries, Dragon's Mouth Distillery out of Elkhart is coming to pour at this event. This is their first event ever. So, but they have some really interesting product.
They're out of Elkhart, you said?
Yeah.
That's where started too, right? New Day.
No, they started in Elwood.
Elwood, that's right.
Yeah. This is Elkhart.
Madison
is,
County versus St. Joseph.
I just remember it was something.
Mishawaka.
Yeah.
I remember L being a part of it.
Yeah.
Up where the campers are made.
Yeah. So they, Daniel is bringing down, and I'm hoping that he brings his Japanese whiskey, because that's not only is it a great product, but it's got a gorgeous label.
Now, have you had any Alpsbrau? Brad Kloppenstein's Alpsbrau, because he and Jim Merritt were here. That's made up two toms in Fort Wayne, right?
Yeah, they white label that for him. He's owning several of those brands. He just sold one for the Indianapolis Lager, that he sold to Sun King, and they just brought that out. Kloppenstein. He's
a longtime friend of the show.
Yeah. President, Indiana Alcohol Commission.
Back in the day, I think he did some stuff there. I think he's now at Lawrence Chamber of Commerce. Or something.
Yeah.
He's very, very buttoned up now.
Yeah. I talked to Brad. Nah, I wouldn't call it often, but, once a month, once every other month. So yeah. We're working on maybe doing something in Fortville.
Need to have him come to this event next year with some Alpsbrau.
Yeah.
In 2025.
Yeah. Two Toms itself has, the word isn't contract, is they're having, just like everybody else, they're having staffing issues. So the number of events that they're doing is a little more restrained at this time. But still, yeah, I'll drink an Alpsbrau if I go to Two Toms, no problem. Yeah.
Yeah, Two Toms is killing it still. I mean, they have so many good beers. And
where is Two Toms? I have no idea.
Fort Wayne.
Okay.
They're out of Fort Wayne.
I've only been to Fort Wayne once in my life.
Yeah, they have a tap room in Fishers.
Fishers.
Okay. Well, it's 96th Street. So technically, it's Indianapolis, but on the other side of the street is Fishers.
Carmel Air Fishers.
Yeah.
They make good stuff.
Yeah. So we're going up there this weekend. Mm. So the Frozen Firkenfest is Saturday. Day after tomorrow at their Fort Wayne location. And it's all one-off beers. So they bring in 15, 18 breweries that will make a beer that you'll never be able to get anywhere else.
Hmm. I mean, I feel like that's probably where like these events eventually need to go.
Getting more and more niche.
Yeah, they need to.
St. Patty's Day, that's fairly
that's
niche.
Different. Yeah. But I was saying, like you're saying, the staffing issues, a lot of breweries are pulling back from them. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I think you should double down because, like, it's a marketing event. But also just the culture of drinking is changing. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going to spirits or the reverse. They're just not drinking. Mm-hmm. There's a huge, pullback from drinking beer and just not drinking or doing non-alcoholics. Is there going to be any non-alcoholic anything there by chance?
There probably should be a couple if not
the press.
Yeah, well,
the press
will be there. Non-alcoholic beers.
Yeah, probably or two alcohol. Or three non-alcoholic beers.
Okay.
Sometimes they'll be doing the seltzers.
Yeah.
And then there are several events, not this one, not Newcastle, but that we bring in a kombucha maker.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's
not Circle, right? But like some.
No. I mean,
craft. Okay.
Yeah. Circle's kind of big.
Well, I mean, right? I don't know how you define craft kombucha.
Yeah.
I think they're probably still craft.
Yeah. But. No, there's four small places in Indiana that do really nice kombucha. Five. Fresh Firm out of Terre Haute. I said it right.
Going to take in a wild ride real quick.
That's what I signed up for.
There's a couple things, right? Indiana Tap. What are you? So you're trying to help breweries, and this so kombucha falls under these too because it's fermented
craft beverage.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So that's under your guys' purview.
Yeah. That's why I've got two tea makers that we do work with. Anything that is craft beverage, we don't have
sauerkraut juice.
Yeah.
Although that might become a thing. Who knows?
Yeah. There's a guy, used to be the head brewer at Upland who is, working on, bringing in a craft, vinegars.
Yeah. So, that's not surprising. I know why that's not surprising. There, I was up in Michigan and this was in Holland, I believe. And there is an entire store dedicated to vinegar.
Yeah.
And I was like, what in the hell?
That's about two blocks from New Holland Brewery.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
exactly. You know exactly where it is. Yeah. It's exactly where it is down the street. And I was like, what? And I was like, and I like vinegar. So I was like, I'm kind of interested, especially in the malt kind. Well, let's go. But I didn't go inside, but. That's not surprising. And that's cool though. Like that's really dope.
No. Anybody who's going to, this is an artisan product. These are artisan products. And, it's our job to make sure that they succeed.
Yeah.
So whatever we have to do, whether it's writing their stories on the website, whether it's, organizing and bringing them into festivals, we have something called the Tasting Society Marketplace, which is a partner and member, program. People buy a membership. They get discounts at about 150 breweries, wineries, distilleries across the state. We have our own ticketing platform. So about 80-85% of the craft beverage events across the state use our ticketing platform, and completely free to use. They get free marketing with it, so that's one of the reasons.
It goes up on your website and it creates a network of.
As soon as we put it on our calendar, it auto populates into 13 other Central Indiana event calendars, and they get. For organizers out there, they get free marketing with it. And after the event, they get what we call the marketing intelligence report, which breaks down every metric of their ticket buyers and makes them a much better marketer of their next event. So yeah, we've got several streams by which we help out. We've even got a party bus of our own called Ale Force One. Yeah, that people can rent, and he will drive them wherever they want to go.
This is available for my birthday.
Oh yeah,
can I do this?
Yeah. Well, when's your birthday, Sean?
May 3rd.
There's
do you have any?
Right before the mini.
There's taps inside if you bring your beer. There's taps outside. It's fully Bluetooth, so there's a huge karaoke system inside. Seats 14.
Say less,
Sean. I'm
say
in.
Less.
I don't know if I'm invited to your birthday.
You're not invited.
I'm coming to your birthday party.
You invite me.
Yeah. But so if you want to go up and try out anything in Fort Wayne, you want to go to Michigan. You know, you just work it out with the bus driver. With
recreationally bring all your right, cash yeah. to Michigan no, to stop at the no, state
like
line. It.
So I have like a question it. For you then, Mark. Do you guys have, so as a connoisseur of beer, and I don't get to India as often, so like I'm not able to keep in tune with what's going on the streets of the craft brew scene. Do you guys have a newsletter that you also release, or is it just a website?
Website is where we do pretty much everything. You can sign up for our email list.
Yeah.
And then you'll get pretty much, you know, news on all the events that are coming down.
Yeah. Even if it's your blog post, if you just email them to me so I could see them. But
if you could please curate your website and send it to me on a semi-regular basis, personally.
No, I would just say
jesse@jessieriddle.com.
That would be great. I forget to go there, and I'm like, it would be nice if I could.
It's indianaontap.com.
Yeah.
And the front page is the news.
Yeah.
And then you can delve into it deeper, the calendar page, the Tasting Society Market page gives you, you know, the logos and clickable logos of all the partners. You can see what their offers are for people who are members of the Tasting Society Market.
Have you, you've been to Cosmetic, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I've met you at Cosmetic.
Well,
so now that we've hung out for a minute, I'm like, man, this guy looks super familiar.
Yeah.
And I think you and I were at Cosmetic at the same time.
You remember when you were in the Beatles?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really cool, man.
Hey, I feel like Cosmetic is still like it's a hidden gem still.
Just right over his head.
They don't move outside very much.
No, they do not.
Yeah, they are in and of themselves.
Well, they don't have a lot to move, right? It's just Nicole and Ryan. So
yeah,
Jesse, I am desperate to get this last item in the notes in at some point.
He's trying to get it in.
Here we go. Ready?
What? Oh, you need to close out.
Oh, I need to say, hey, Mark.
Yeah.
You guys always do a charitable function in a partnership with the community.
All of our festivals have a charitable.
Wanted to know about Newcastle and who you're working with, what the benefit is to this with this one, and what group you're with.
We do not make that choice.
Yeah.
So we take a percentage of the profits, and Newcastle Main Street will decide where that check goes.
Okay.
It's not always the same. So yeah, whatever they decide on this year, that's where the check.
So that organization is going to be directing it. So a portion of the proceeds are going to go to Newcastle Main Street.
Yeah.
And then it will be directed towards a local charity.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah. Happens with every one of our events. Actually, Hops and Coaster Drops is a little bit bigger, so it's considerably more that goes to a charity of Indiana Beaches. That did I talk about Hops and Coaster Drops?
Not yet.
Oh.
Okay. Early September, September 7th this year. Last year I had 105 alcohol vendors at Indiana Beach Amusement Park with the rides on. They leave the rides on for 5 hours after the event. Bring in a huge band out of Chicago. There's camping. They've got all the rides on. So there's six roller coasters, and you do unlimited sampling while you ride the rides.
What could possibly go wrong?
How many janitors do they have?
Yeah, we thought the
definitely
first
want to
year,
get a front row seat in the roller coasters, not the back. Don't want to be in the back.
We're coming up to year four. And the first year we thought, you know, are we going to hand out logoed ponchos with this?
I would have
but
just,
Gordon Fisherman gear for the back row.
Yeah. But it's been much better than we, now there
have been issues.
Yeah. Indiana Beach calls them Code Greens.
Yeah. Funny.
Each year we have about two code greens. And, but most of the time it's 3 or 4 hours after the event.
That.
So, yeah, that is, well, that event is the bane of my existence. Just trying to get 105, you know,
that's five alcohol. To six times the scale of what you're looking at doing.
Yeah. Here. So that one is a lot of fun, but it's hard for me. Loggers in Lawrence Oktoberfest, September 21st this year at the Fort Bend Cultural Campus in Lawrence. Mm-hmm. My favorite event by far. We'll have 40 to 45 alcohol vendors, German dancing, German music, German food. Last year we had 45 wiener dogs.
No German propaganda though.
No.
Okay, good.
Is that where the wiener dog racing was?
Wiener dog. We had 45 wiener dogs in the wiener dog races last year.
Awesome.
Yeah. And people, apparently you can't own one wiener dog.
No.
You have to buy them in packs, two or three. Like the hot dogs.
Yeah.
So never have blankets. We had somebody bring one of their wiener dogs to race, but they brought their other 10 wiener dogs to what?
For companionship.
Yeah. So there must have been 120.
I said my friend brought theirs. I think she was like her dog's in a wheelchair or whatever. So
would you consider
a lot of,
that
a lot of back problems?
Differently abled
has a great great prospect.
We have a different division for them.
Yeah,
I will say that Zach and myself and Dakota will actually be in attendance at the big Newcastle on tap. We're going to do the roving podcast. So Mark was nice enough to invite us to participate. And he's like, you want a booth? And we're like, we want to go talk to
people.
We are.
You be the man on the street.
We really do enjoy the man on the street side. So I don't know how long.
That's the best place to get it.
I don't know how long the sloppiness is going to go, but I promise you're going to have some unlistenable audio and it's going to be a great ride for you.
Do you know the guy that's online? That's always like, who's the vice president right now? I mean, and everyone's like, and they say, and he goes, yes. He just, no matter what they say, he just goes, yes. Can you do that? Be like, who's the mayor of Newcastle? Like, yeah, I don't know. You're like, yes.
We may find ourselves walking up to Greg York asking who the mayor of Newcastle is. And by the end of the night, he may not know.
That would be perfect. Please get that on tape.
Yeah.
He loves to dance at the event.
Yeah. True stories.
He's a
true
big dancer. Stories. Yeah.
He was modeling today, his eclipse glasses on live on the internet. He was doing his ambassadorship. All right.
Well, I hope he wears them to the event.
It's another eclipse practice event.
Yeah.
Sean, I think it's time in the show that we start to wrap up and we get into our final thoughts. And you give us the pitch.
It is a travesty with the Supreme Court. I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna deal
if
with
we
that.
get ourselves in whatever trouble, who's our first phone call? Who are we supposed to call in case we got ourselves in a little bit of trouble?
So the first thing you do at any Indiana Untapped event is you make sure you have a designated driver and you have a sober ride home. Do not drive home. If you are arrested for operating a vehicle while intoxicated in Henry County, state of Indiana, you call me at Galleon Rat Law Office, 765-529-3787, and I will help you. I will.
In that, say Boss Hog, you get 5% off.
If you say Boss Hog, say Boss Hog in my voicemail, you get 5% off of the retainer fee. Gives you a smidge off. No, but really though, like this fantastic organization. I've been to your events in Anderson. Mm. I've been to your events in Newcastle, and it is always a great time. It's well organized. It's very orderly. I've never had any. You think about a beer festival, people getting out of control or whatever, but like I've never dealt with anybody that's unruly or whatever. And it's been such a awesome time to go to those events. So, I would really encourage everybody to engage in those events, get a safe ride home. But have a great time. Like it's an awesome time. Like there is so much to explore and there's going to be so many more things this year compared to last year and so many more things in the future, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So, I can't say enough about like how much fun this event is. So kudos. I've been a customer of yours for many times, even before you came here to Newcastle, because we would go to Anderson, it would be in the middle of summer and it would be like, oh, it's so hot. I wish they came to Newcastle. It's like, yeah. Oh, it's Newcastle. Unfortunately, it came in a polar vortex. It's so cold. I can't choose the weather in Indiana. Like, yeah. It's just the way it is. Yeah. But you guys put on a fantastic, fantastic event. And I cannot, as someone who's a beer connoisseur, as somebody who enjoys the product, like, you cannot beat this. Like, this is it.
It's a pretty good value.
Yeah. Yeah. You cannot beat the value.
And it's a better value today if you buy it online before you buy it at the gate.
Yeah.
So if you're interested, put it on your calendar, big boy, yep. Commit to it, say, yes, I'm coming, and buy your tickets. But they will take your money at the gate too. And I think $20 for the DD is a hell of a value as well.
Yep. Especially with all the coffee and teas and things like that. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just don't buy a DD ticket thinking that you're going to scam me out of a cup. It
happens. Who would dare do such a thing? You guys, this listening audience is better than that. Zach, final thoughts?
Not much. The Greg Hahn comedy show last weekend was nice. Downtown was jumping.
Like, another Newcastle Main Street event.
Yeah, Primo was busy, and
the program was all about this event.
Yeah,
it was definitely cross promoted.
Yeah, and then that was the first time in the castle since I've heard. I thought that I heard that they had more changes than were actually done, which is actually good. The theater's in a good spot and it's in good shape in there. So that was a cool event. And this sounds like a cool event. And the weather at this point is a lottery roll. Let's go with it, because we have been all over the place. So chances are,
I'm going 68 and sunny. It's going to be spectacular.
For the eclipse? Yeah.
For Newcastle on tap.
Oh, Newcastle on tap. Tap. What is the day?
March 16th.
March 16th. Yeah.
So right. 2 weeks from Saturday.
The comedy that was here last weekend, that is a ticketed event?
Yeah, yes, it was.
It was a ticketed event. You may need to do some connections.
Yeah, I think maybe.
And maybe for their next, they're already chatter of the of there being a round two. Another comedy event. So I think it could happen.
H.J. Ricks in Greenfield. Yeah. They use us for all their ticketing now. Nice. So,
Tony's a good guy. You work with Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Haywood Banks was there a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. They've done a lot of, I don't know if the castle's talking to them, but the H.J. Ricks Center has also done a ton of renovations recently. They just got new seats and they had a seat company come in and like make it so that pretty much there's not a bad seat in the house now.
Yeah, we did a nice seating chart for them. So now you can actually buy individual seats on our website for that.
You know exactly where you're going to land.
Yeah.
Anything else, Zachary?
No.
How many days running in a row are we?
Oh, I have to look. Today hurt. They all hurt, though, at this point.
For the listening audience, Zach has run at least a mile a day for how many days in a row?
I'm waiting for my little app to tell me. 788
days in a row. So by the time we get to Newcastle on tap, you will theoretically have crossed over 800 days.
Yeah,
your poor knees.
And my right knee really hurts.
Yeah,
I think maybe you earned it.
I bet running's bad for your joints.
It might be 789. I don't think it's actually
pretty much every doctor will tell you that.
You think one beer is going to ruin that?
He just doesn't like it.
I joke for the people that know my brother that I'm saving half my liver for my twin brother. And the people, even though we're not identical, so I don't think it really works that way, but the people that know us are like, dude, that's really nice of you, because my brother,
he's definitely going to need it by the time he's 50.
My brother is as much of an aficionado of beer as I am of not drinking anything. So
my liver can beat up your liver.
I don't doubt. No problem. My liver doesn't know any. It's lived a very pampered life.
Your liver hasn't even started working.
No, it's probably dormant at this point.
As long as he doesn't take Tylenol, he's fine.
Yeah.
If he crushes Tylenol every night, it's probably just as bad.
Mark, this has been fantastic. We're glad you're here.
Thanks for having me.
We're excited to be a part of the event in whatever way that is. Hopefully we don't bother your guests or your vendors too horribly much with our shenanigans.
Don't bother the vendors.
Yeah. No, people will love talking to you guys.
Oh yeah.
And the vendors as well will love, it's just another way of getting their story out. And you guys will get to meet the two bearded guys, another podcast be there then. I think maybe you guys could learn a thing or two because they sell merch.
Oh, we do have some merch.
Oh, this is good.
We do have some
merch.
Make
sure to bring it.
If folks want to, want to check it out, it's on demand. You can hit up, jump on the website. We got, old Audrey Davis has got it on ready to go. We got merch, we got stickers, we got all the stuff.
Yeah, it's all on demand, though.
It's
not in hand. I ran into the two bearded guys at Wooden Bear, so.
Oh, so you were there that night?
Yeah.
We may have met then, too.
They may have met then.
Yeah.
Jesse, do you remember when you were in the Beatles? Jesse Riddle.
Well, old enough, so I don't have to worry about trying to remember that one.
What are you selling? What are you pitching?
Not pitching anything.
You've got it. No.
So,
you've got to work.
I'm not pitching anything related to this.
All right.
I am a self-employed human being. And your mother, your grandmother, your father, your escort, anyone needs
an escort,
IT support, or any sort of business technology needs.
I thought he was the escort.
Please do what? For the right price.
He's a businessman.
Call me for a quote. But anyways, you can reach out to me. Just go to www.bitmvrvrroger.com. Again, that's bitmvr.com. One more time. bitmvr.com.
Do I have to do the HTTPS or HTTP?
No, it will all redirect as it should.
//.
It just
www.
I'm a tech guy. It does what it's supposed to do.
Okay.
It'll redirect to the secure page. You don't. It's fine.
There was BITEME.
Damn it.
Bitemore.net.
Bitmover. Bitmover. BIT. MVR.
And if you're mercifully, Zach Burcham has put it in the Facebook chat.
And if you're listening to the podcast, if you jump in, find the video on Facebook. I have links to the tickets website for Newcastle Untapped. I have I linked Indiana Untapped's overall website. And then I just managed to decipher through his mentioning it 17 times.
That's a real producer right there. That's a real producer.
I'm just trying to be like, well, I feel like we're on the radio and they repeat stuff 1,000 times.
Yeah, there's God forbid somebody uses the rewind button. My laptop has just said it's done for the night.
It sounds like you need IT support.
I
probably, that is bitmvr.com.
Can you log on? No, your laptop's out.
It's flashing and it's angry.
You could text me. You could just write me a snail mail. I'll accept
There's nothing but trouble ahead. Well, that's concerning. The laptop has yeeted itself. I didn't even spill anything on it tonight. Final thoughts from me. This is the last episode before we get into the world-renowned Ball Soccer Liberty Candidate Series. It starts next Thursday. Our plan is going to be to have invited every candidate that's on the local ballot to come through here that's in Henry County, and we're gonna talk to a ton of people. Special sponsorship is in place for that. Brand new business Ink and Ale is going to be a sponsor, so each and every one of those episodes is going to be sponsored by Ink and Ale and Wylands Flowers here in town. So if you see them, if you get to support them, if you get to meet up with them, thank them for helping bring that together. And we will be here next week starting the candidate series. With that, we thank Mark, Sean, Devin, Zach, and yes, we'll even thank Jesse.
Thank you.
next week, mercifully, Dakota Davis will be back. I hope you enjoyed your one Leap Day Thursday night episode of Boss Hog that's ever going to exist.
I was going to say, I'm glad you guys, this was it.
This was as precious as an eclipse.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.